are now joined on the Arkansas Mailing Services Hotline by Danny West. Time for our recruiting roundup. Danny, thanks for joining us. Danny West of HogSports.com and was down in Dallas this weekend. Danny, tell us what you saw down there and some of the players. Let's talk about them that you saw down there.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good camp. And for those who don't know, it was the Rivals Camp Series presented by Under Armour. 250 kids from a five-state area, and just about all of the kids you talked to down there had offers from Oklahoma, Texas, these type of schools, you know, so it's really a lot of talent. Arkansas, the state, sent about 11 kids down there, ended up with 12. We had a walk-up from Little Rock Catholic, Aaron Hammaker. And so I was really impressed, guys. I really was, that Arkansas's kids, you knew kind of going in that Josh Frazier, you know, four-star defensive tackle, Harbor High School, would kind of stand out. You knew Bijan Jackson, Arkansas commit, and Jay Burgess. Some of those names would probably have a pretty good chance of standing out. But then there was that next group of, you know, Chuck Soda, Kaven Alexander, Will Gregg, a 2015 tight end from Pine Bluff, Chris's little brother, of course. And those are the guys who really stepped up and kind of made a name for themselves down there. So a lot of action, a lot of names to keep up with, but I was really, really proud of how Arkansas represented itself down there.
And talk about some of the players that Arkansas is on that were down there and what they excelled in.
You mean from the state or out of state?
Out of state, just those that Arkansas is looking at.
Yeah. The first one I noticed, Trey, was Brandon Harris. Now, Arkansas already has a quarterback commit by the name of Rafe Peavy for this year's class, but they also offered Brandon Harris of Bossier City, Louisiana. And I'm telling you, there's a reason he's getting so many offers. That is, he's probably got the quickest release I've seen of any quarterback in this class. Just a really, really sharp quarterback, in my opinion. He really stood out to me, as well as a defensive back from Mesquite, Poteet, Texas. Verkedrick Vons is his name. He actually won the Defensive Skills MVP award, had three or four interceptions in one-on-one drills, and that is really tough to do, you know, in that kind of setting where it's just you, the quarterback, and the receiver. I always think the offense kind of has an edge there. So he's been hearing a lot from Arkansas and really wants to come up here and take a visit.
You're exactly right. There will be practices, and the best cornerback on your team will not have three or four interceptions all year when you do one-on-one
right.
drill. So to do that, that is pretty cool. And Danny, I don't know if we asked you this last time, but we had a caller call in and ask us about a kid from Pottsville, Michael Perry.
Yeah.
If you could just elaborate on him.
Yeah, Michael Perry. I want to say he's right around the 5'10", 5'11" mark as far as height, probably 180, I would say. Really good athlete. Really unproven, you know. He plays at that competition level, and it's not the best in the state of Arkansas. But he is definitely a highly productive player. He's been up here for unofficial visits. They've had him up. I know the previous staff did anyway for games and whatnot. And I think he's going to come to camp this summer. So really excited to see him. He's been in all of our preseason lists going into 2014. You know, top 15, top 20 guys. So a very good prospect and definitely one to keep an eye on.
Well, and he's also a very good basketball player as well.
Is that right?
Yes, yes. Helped lead Pottsville to a state championship this year.
Nice. I didn't realize that.
Let's go to Delbert. Delbert, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing this fine afternoon?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. I'm down here with a couple of gentlemen downtown Conway. We're watching a little of this this March Madness get going. I tell you what, everybody here's got the fever. What's going on there in Little Rock?
Well, there is a lot of fever for March Madness. We're watching it here at Dugan's Pub, and
I tell you what, Rodney Clark is not stepping up to the plate. I'm glad we got rid of him because he is not stepping up to the plate like we thought he would. You watching the Bucknell?
That game's over with.
He hit a three late in the game, a really good three. But, yeah, you're right as far as his totals for the game. He was 5 of 14, 2 of 8 from three-point line. Finished with 17 points.
Wow.
But was 5 of 6 from the free throw line. And as a team, they shot 25 of 28 from the free throw line, 89%. Ooh. That's how they were able to hang on, because Bucknell only shot 8 free throws total.
Listen, guys, I don't want to keep you too long. I wanted to ask who you guys picked for your finals to win it all, and I'm going to let you go. Hang up and listen. I appreciate it. You guys are rocking it, man.
Thank you, Delbert. Appreciate the call. Danny, we'll let you go first. Who do you have in the Final Four?
Well, I'll tell you. I've got Duke and Ohio State in one side, and then I've got Kansas and Indiana in the other, with Indiana winning the final over Duke.
Matt?
That's a good one. Let me pull it up real quick. The main one I have is Duke.
Wait. How many do you have?
I just have two. Two different things. But
okay.
I have Duke coming out of the Midwest region, and I would like to see St. Louis beat Louisville, which I don't know if they can, but St. Louis is a good team. That way I really think that Duke-Michigan State winner of that game will make it out of that region, but I went with Duke. And then I have Kansas out of the South, where I wanted to have Minnesota beating Florida, where Georgetown played Minnesota, but I had Florida going through. I have Kansas beating Georgetown out of that region. And then out of the Indiana, the East, I went with Miami. I have Syracuse beating Indiana, then Miami beating Syracuse to make it to the Final Four. And then out of the Gonzaga region, I have Wisconsin as kind of my upset pick, a 5 seed making it. And I have the rematch of the Big Ten title game, where Ohio State beat Wisconsin by 1 point in that game. And I have Wisconsin playing Duke in that semifinals, with Kansas beating Duke with the score around 75-73, somewhere around there. Trey?
I've got Michigan State, Ohio State, Kansas, and Miami. And I've got Ohio State defeating Kansas for the national championship.
I like Ohio State. I think they have a good chance. They have an easy road, I really think. You know, they got to play Iowa State. I believe that it'd be tough. But if you look at their next game, which would be against a New Mexico or Belmont, I think they roll through that. And then they'll play a Gonzaga or Wisconsin, I believe. I think Ohio State and Kansas might have the easiest route to make the Final Four, with the Midwest and the East regions being the hardest. I really do think those two regions are the easiest for maybe one of those teams to make it.
Danny, obviously it's spring break week, so the Razorbacks are taking the week off, and then they come back, start back to practice on Tuesday, Thursday, and then next Saturday before the spring game on the 20th. And I know you've heard Brett Bielema talk, haven't been able to really to see anything this spring yet because he hasn't opened it, but what are you expecting to see? What do you want to see the first time that Brett Bielema does open practices to the media?
Well, I think I always look at the offensive and defensive lines, and sure, it's going to be early on, and right now they're going to be nowhere near where they're going to end up being, you know, come late August. But those two groups, really, I think he's trying to build the whole program around, you know, obviously right now. So a lot of question marks on the offensive line. I think you lost 3 starters in both guards, Deacon, Bailey, and, of course, Peacock. I think that's a big question mark. Who kind of steps up into those positions, as well as defensive tackle? They lost 4 seniors there, you know, D.D. Jones, Alfred Davis, some of those guys. You're going to be a little bit young there with Phylon, DeMarcus Hodge. So really those two groups, I think, will be key and what I'll really focus in on.
Looking forward to next year basketball-wise, you've got Bobby Portis and Moses Kingsley coming in, but let's talk. I know Mike Anderson, they're out there hitting the recruiting trail. They were at the JUCO National Championship. Surely there's got to be a point guard out there somewhere.
Well, I can tell you this. I haven't heard of any new point guards coming on the radar, but they are still in it for Desmond Lee. You know, but a lot of teams are right now. It's going to be very tough to get him. I think he's got 3 visits left, and this is going to be key. He'll probably go to NC State for 1, probably Illinois for the other, if Arkansas can get that last visit out of Desmond Lee, I think that would be huge. Obviously, big-time combo guard. He can do a little bit of both for you. It's going to come down to getting him on campus and showing him around a little bit. But you mentioned the JUCO tournament down there. I know Coach Anderson, T.J. Cleveland, and Melvin Watkins were all down there. And one of the top prospects they're looking at is Jamal Jones. He's a 6'8 guy from Lee College in Baytown, Texas. He's actually from Searcy, Arkansas. He came out in the 2011 class. Signed with Ole Miss, really ran into a little bit of trouble there, so he ended up at Lee College and is apparently just blowing it up right now. So he doesn't have an offer just yet, but, you know, it's always possible that he could get one pretty soon.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that about Jamal Jones. Very good. 6'8 player.
We have two right. live fan feedbacks, but before I get to this, I wanted to ask you about Moses Kingsley. We know Bobby Portis is playing in, what, three different All-Star games. Is Moses Kingsley playing in any type of All-Star games where you'll be able to watch him against some better competition?
You know what, Matt? I'm going to have to text him. I will definitely find out, and then when I get an answer, I will definitely shoot it back to you.
Okay, well, thank you. We have.
I will find out.
Thank you. A guy, live fan feedback, he says, have you heard anything about Gerard Chandler from Barton and Melvin Bradley, those
it's
two guys?
Melvin Bradley's nephew.
Oh, it's Melvin Bradley's nephew. So Gerard Chandler from Barton, they said he's 6'3", 220, and he ran a 10.9 in the 100 meters.
Is that right? No, that's the first time I've heard that name. I know a couple of coaches in that conference, so I will – you said his last name's Chandler?
Yes, Gerard or Jared. Is it Gerard? I think it's Gerard Chandler, 6'3", 220.
Okay.
I don't know what grade he is, but it does say he's from Barton.
Okay, got you. Well, it sounds like he'd probably have to be a senior to be 2014 guy. And let me tell you, this in-state class is really, really good. I mean, we had a dozen of them in Texas and probably could have offered half a dozen more to come down there. I'm really impressed with this in-state class. Seems like every week I hear of a new name like that I've never even heard of. And after doing research, you find out, yeah, he's hearing from Ole Miss, Mississippi State, these type of schools. So I'll definitely check that out.
And, Danny, just to talk about this class that's coming through the state of Arkansas here, talk about the importance, like Brett Bielema said when he got here, about building that fence around the state. And if you're the best of the best, we want you to be a Razorback. Talk about how difficult that's going to be with some of these kids that are coming up these next couple of years.
Yeah, it's always difficult. I can tell you I interviewed the on-campus recruiting coordinator, Chris Hauser, I want to say a couple of Fridays ago, and that was really one of the things he wanted to really knock out of the park with me, just the importance of keeping kids at home. You know, you've seen the Michael Dyers go elsewhere, and, yeah, that was kind of a different deal with Dyer, but LT Tenpenny leaves the state. They want to make sure that doesn't happen. And the best way to keep that from happening is to go get Josh Frazier this year. He's the number one kid in the state, and they're going to do everything they can to kind of make him the example and start over again a little bit and, you know, just kind of let the other kids within the state know, hey, you've got to be right here. So that's definitely an important deal. It's going to be a challenge with Frazier, in my opinion, because of Alabama, USC, all these schools that you know are just riding high right now, and he's going to take a look at most of them. But in the end, I feel good about Arkansas's chances to keep Frazier at home, and I think that could start a good trend for you.
And yesterday we had probably four or five callers call in about the quarterback situation, and my belief was that it would be one of the Brandons, but then we had somebody ask about the A.J. Derby and the other guy. Do you believe that the starting quarterback will be somebody on campus now or one of these freshmen coming in? And who do you look for to kind of pull away with that?
Yeah, I think it'll be somebody. I'm with you on one of the Brandons. I just look at Brandon Mitchell. He moves back to quarterback. I really like his leadership. And right now, you know, we haven't seen a lick of practice or anything like that. But just going into next week, I'm kind of expecting Brandon Mitchell to kind of be my favorite personally. But A.J. Derby is one guy that Bielema mentioned last week as kind of the third guy who stepped up in that group. And, slowly they're going to have to start separating some of those groups. And Derby may be in that third group there or that third spot there, I should say. But, yeah, the two freshmen coming in, Austin Allen, Damon Mitchell, very talented guys, but I think they're going to have to wait their turn. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, we just got another Keith Lee Service Company Live fan feedback. This from Keith and Atkins asking us to ask you about Michael Perry at Pottsville, and apparently Tim Horton was talking to him before he left. He will be a senior next year, so we have alerted Danny to that, and Danny will get on him.
Absolutely.
Danny, when you look at the strengths of this Arkansas team coming up, Arkansas football team coming up this next year, where do you see the needs being in that 2014 class?
Well, I think you've seen them already go after just a ton of running backs. Obviously, you got a great one in Alex Collins this past year. You got Denzel Evans out of Texas. We'll kind of wait and see what he is over the next couple of years. But already, you know, I think about Joe Mixon, Jonathan Hilliman, all these national-type running backs. They've offered probably close to a dozen. So I think they're really focusing on that group right now. Numbers are pretty low there. And then offensive tackle, like I've said before, they've missed on quite a few over the last few years, and they're going to have to play a little catch-up. So I think you may see them dip into the junior college ranks a little bit, try to make up for some depth there as well as defensive tackle again.
Also, any word on any of the seniors that are going to be freshmen next year coming up there and enrolling in the summer? And how many of the JUCO guys have enrolled, will be there for spring ball, but then also, you know, the younger guys, the high school guys, are any of them going to be up there enrolling in classes in the summer?
No. The only guys who enrolled were, and let me list them here, Mike Tavares at linebacker, John McClure, Carroll Washington, the cornerback, and TQ Coleman. Sam Hill will join the team. He's the punter from Australia, California, whatever you want to call it. He'll join early this summer, as well as Martrell Spate. And, you know, we're expecting all of those guys to be on campus for the first part of summer semester. So that's usually been the trend here lately anyway with most high school prospects.
And I might have asked you this before, but I was going to ask you again. Out of the JUCO guys, which – few players do you see coming in right away and making an impact on this team?
That's a great question. I really like all of them, but I look at that linebacker group, you know, with Tavares and Martrell Spate. There's obviously, I think anytime you look at players and their impact going into a team, you have to look at what a team needs, and they really need some depth at linebacker. So I'd probably go with the two junior college linebackers, but you also lost both offensive guards, so I think John McClure would have a chance there as well. And then Carroll Washington, a cornerback. I mean, numbers aren't great there. They're low on experience, so I could see him maybe even being your number two, number three guy there in that rotation.
Danny, when you look at the schedule this next year, you play all of your non-conference games at the beginning before you get into SEC play, and you don't have to play Alabama in the first game of the SEC. You get Texas A&M coming to Fayetteville. But talk about the SEC this next year for the Arkansas Razorbacks. They're tough games on the road at Alabama, at Florida, at Ole Miss, at LSU. That is a brutal schedule for Brett Bielema to have to try and go through.
Yeah, and for me, Trey, I think it starts out of conference. I think that Rutgers game, I want to say
right.
It's the fourth game of the season.
It is.
You have to go all the way up there. If they can somehow get a win there, and I know that sounds funny because it's Rutgers, you know, but that's not the Rutgers that, you know, it's not your daddy's Rutgers anymore. That's a pretty respectable program up there. It's going to be a really tough road trip to start off with. If they can go up there and get a little bit of confidence, I'm not sure it helps you the next week with A&M, but I think it could help you down the line. You know, really tough games at Florida, Alabama. Even Ole Miss is going to be tough, and, of course, LSU. But if you can maybe pull off a win against A&M at home or South Carolina, I think you've really got a good shot to end up with, you know, seven wins, I would say.
I agree with you. I think they get to six. They get bowl eligible. And a question about, if you know, that quarterback from Rutgers that had probably his career game against us, is he – coming back, you know, do you know anything about that Rutgers team as far as how many people they lost? Are they still all kind of intact?
I don't know. I'm trying to pull up their depth chart right now.
Because I think
Nova, was that his name?
It was
his
name.
And what you're saying, Danny, I agree with you, if they can go up there and get that victory. But I wonder, you know, if they're losing that quarterback, I have to like our chances a little more as far as going up there and getting that victory.
I think Nova was just a sophomore.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he was a redshirt sophomore or not, but I don't know. I'll have to find that out as well.
Danny, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
You bet, guys. I appreciate you.